In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the New Martyrs of the Turkish Yoke, one of my favorite feasts of the year, because it has one of my favorite saints, St. Timothy of Esfigmeno, in it. And in the New Martyrs of the Turkish Yoke, we celebrate people who were killed, often in horrible ways, often after torture. Their lands were taken away, children taken away. They were tormented in various ways. It's happening now in our day, places like Syria, Iraq, Iran. It's happening to Christians today. So we celebrate these people who died. And out of death comes life, because the grain of seed, the grain of wheat goes into the ground, it dies, and then it comes forth. And so I really have not, to be honest with you, haven't really prepared a sermon very well because the past events have been all-consuming for me. But the gospel, the epistles especially, they remind me very much of how Christians are to live when they encounter death or when they encounter any kind of tribulation. Now, for those of you who don't know what I'm referring to, my son died 2 weeks ago on the Sunday of All Saints, and the Sunday in which three icons of the Theotokos, four icons, were protecting him. There's been many consolations since his death, and I dare say I even feel joy. Now, I have moments. I haven't had one yet today, but I had plenty yesterday. Yesterday was the day we buried him. And so I still have joy, though. There is a joy because, first of all, the Lord has given us some consolations, some things that have happened, both in what people have told me they've experienced and what we've seen with our own eyes, but also that we are Christians and that the time for my son's death was then. There was no other time. And that as Christians, we must accept that. Not just accept that, but actually glory in it. So the apostle speaks about being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access with faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, he might have been referring more to the kinds of tribulations that the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke were enduring, where they were being hounded and they were being tortured and they were having their land seized and they were always in danger of being persecuted in some terrible way. But also, life sends us plenty of things that are tribulations, that are difficulties. The Russians have a term, iskushenia. I don't know much Russian, but I understand that word. I really do, completely. I think it's basically large or huge temptation, but it means a whole lot more than that to the soul. Because life is full of temptations. Life is full of difficulties. Life is full of sadness, like my son dying at the age of 20. But it's also full of joy because God is in the midst of everything. And so we should glory in our tribulations. And I can say that no one in my family has questioned God's providence. No one has been angry. No one has said in any bitter or ironic way, why did this happen? Because we accept God's providence for us. And because we believe with all of our heart that God is present in our tribulations and in the times of when we have joyful, happy things happen to us. Everything should turn into joy. And I have seen marvelous changes in people that I really love, and also people that I know that from various places that have made changes in their lives, their heart has been changed because of these last 2 weeks. Not only that, Daniel, I think, is collaborating with us. I believe that completely. but also because we're a family that we write a lot, and we've written a lot. So we've sort of worked out our grief partially through writing. My wife has written, I think, at least 5 different blog entries. Of course, she wouldn't know a blog if it hit her in the head. She's just written, word articles, and then we've put them on Facebook, and eventually maybe we'll do something else with them. And on the mailing list, I think they've been on there as well. And I've written some. Basically, Christina's written some. Jenny's written some. My daughter Anna written a beautiful poem, which shows great faith in the midst of sadness. So we as Christians, when we encounter things that are difficult, of course they're difficult. We're human. They might make us sad. They might make us perplexed. They might make us afraid. Whatever they do, we must glory in whatever the Lord brings into our life because we are Christians. First and foremost, we are Christians. And so the apostle goes on to say, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. That's pretty good news. That's very good news. And I, with all of my heart, believe that my son's death is going to bring more people to that experience. I've already seen it happening. In myself, there are changes in me that are absolutely gigantic. There's been sort of a preparation period now that I look back on it. In the past basically 6 months or even less, probably 6 months, it's been a big change in the way I've just done certain things that have prepared me to be able to not just cope with the death of my son, but to thrive because of the death of my son. And that's because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So we must be Christian about whatever we encounter, whether it's the death, sudden death of a son, whether it's loss of a job, whether it's sickness, whatever it is, we have to glory in those tribulations because we are Christians. Now, that's the epistle for today, which is actually not for the new martyrs. It's just for the third Sunday after. Is this the third Sunday after Pentecost? I'm losing track of time, really, to be honest with you. Because it seems almost like weeks ago that I buried my son, and also just a moment ago. I have to tell you, when I walked in the church last night to get ready, the table on which his coffin stood was still there. And I'd forgotten that it was still there. So it certainly was very immediate then when I saw that table. So the epistle, though, for the new martyrs of the Turkish yoke, those who had so many tribulations that don't compare to ours, is also from Romans. And it begins, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, but only if you love God and you're called to his purpose. So you don't live according to his purpose, then the bad things that happen to you, they're crushing and they defeat you. But if you live according to purpose, then these things can actually be things that you glory in. My wife and I have said this personally to one another several times. I'll say it out loud. It might be shocking to you. It might be offensive to you. But I'm going to say it anyway. We are happy that our Lord took our son because it was the right time. And if you had some sort of weird thought experiment where we could say to the Lord, take it back, I would decline, because this was God's will, and because we glory in tribulations and difficulties. We are Christians. All things work together for good, not just the stuff that looks good and feels good, but the stuff that also feels bad. Everything becomes good if you are a Christian. Everything. St. Paul follows after he says, all things work together for good. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. It's a very beautiful thing. Of course, it's used by heretics to say crazy things, such as that only a certain elect group of people are selected by God to be saved from the time of their, from even before their birth, which is bizarre. So-called idea of predestination. The predestination that is being spoken of is God in his love created all men to know him. That's why he created us, to know him. To be conformed to the image of his Son, so that we could have union with him. So we were all created for a purpose. All men were. Some people are not going to fulfill that purpose. But may it not be that we fail in this purpose, to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in life, if everything's easy, we become lazy, we become egotistical and arrogant, we become mean-spirited. All those things happen when everything is easy. Just take a look at a child who's indulged when they're at Walmart, screaming for something. And as soon as they get it, they scream for something else. We are not made as humans to always have ease, to have everything fit together just like we want it. Because love is patient and love is kind. And patience means we don't try to have everything just as we want it. We take things as God gives them to us. And this is the great gift that he's given to us, that he predestinated in his mind before all things. He predestinated that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, those of us who would love him and would live according to his purpose. That is what we are to do in this life. And I'm convinced that the death of my Son has actually helped myself first and others to be on this track, to be conformed to the image of his Son. You know, life really isn't worth living unless we feel as God feels, unless we love as God loves. And there's terrible things that happen in life. And if we're not aware of those things, there's something wrong with us. As Christians, we must have that mind of God that reaches out to those who need. And so we must redouble our efforts every day to live according to the image of God's Son. To live with faith, to live with humility, to live with compassion, to have our eyes open and looking ahead and seeing who needs. To not complain about our situation, that this is happening or that is happening, or we're not happy about our job, or this relationship is going bad, or blah, 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 blah. Yada, 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 yada. We're Christians. We exalt and glory in tribulations, and we live according to faith. St. Paul goes on to say, what shall we say then to those things, or to these things? If God be with us, who can be against us? So who can? Who can gainsay God? No one, except one person. our own indifference, our own self-centeredness. That truly can withstand God and can push him away. Nothing else. Not the demons. Not our sins. Not our weaknesses. Not our sorrow. None of that can push God away. But our indifference, God will allow himself to be pushed away. That's true. He goes on to say, who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? Remember, I've told you in Scripture, you answer all questions. So what can? What can separate us from Christ? None of those things. The only thing that can separate us from Christ is our own indifference, our own self-centeredness, our own self-pity. But we're Christians. My family is Christians. We're not going to do that. We're going to remember our son every day. Not just that we remember that he was a great guy and smart and kind and all those things, but that he had a deep heart. And we're going to honor his memory and remember this terrible event as one that brings joy and purpose to our lives. And so should you, not only with the death of my son, if you are close to him, or if you're really an exceptional person and are able to feel our pain also. It's a very hard thing to do. It's a very rare thing for a person to be able to do that. Or if you have had a loss in your family, or something that's been very difficult to cope with. We glory in tribulations. It doesn't make them easy. It doesn't remove the fact that we feel great pain or confusion or everything else. But we're Christians, so we are going to live like Christians. And I'm going to continue to teach you to live like a Christian, and I'm going to try to learn to do it myself. That's what we must do. Otherwise, all the things we go through in life are meaningless. So we go through good things and bad things. It's meaningless unless all the things that we go through in life lead us to being conformed to the image of God's Son. So that's what we need to do. Live such that everything and our reaction to it brings us to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And then every event that happens in our life, including ones that are very hard to take, will lead us to eternal life. I wouldn't wish that you receive a phone call like I got a couple Mondays ago. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy unless I knew that it would lead you to joy. And this has led us to joy. We're still in the middle of grief. We're not at the middle. I'm nearing the end now. Because there was so much in the beginning. But even in the midst of our grief, and that we'll remember him and cry about him a year from now, we'll be Christians. And we will be conformed to the image of God's Son, because that is what Christians do. I'll put in a plug. I want to ask of all of you that all of you pray for my son. There's a prayer that I printed out, a prayer for a person who has reposed. I expect if you love me, if you love my wife, if you love my children, you will pray for Daniel every day. And then that prayer will be multiplied. And you will be aided by that prayer as well as Daniel, as well as us. And then there'll be this grand collaboration that will be happening, of which we will understand very little until all things are revealed. May God help you May God bless you. May God help you when you encounter difficult things in your life to always have faith.